Well, back in the spring, when we were thinking about what worship this fall would look like, these 12 Sundays between today and the last Sunday of November, and we decided that most of them, some of the worship leadership team, decided that what we would do is we would try to have an honest conversation, a serious conversation about what matters the most in our Christian faith. Now, what's interesting about this for me is that the motivation for tackling a serious subject like that was actually two books with somewhat irreverent titles. One of them, written by a United Methodist minister back east, is entitled, "What's the Least I Can Believe and Still Be a Christian?" And the other one is a pretty good seller at Cokesbury, was entitled, "10 Things Your Minister Will Never Tell You." And the small print said, "Because he needs the job." Both of those books were trying in a somewhat humorous way to lift up the core of a contemporary, progressive Christian faith and to show how it can be put into action in our personal and social lives. So what I want us to do together over these over 10 of these 12 Sundays is to talk seriously together, to enjoy the sermons if possible, to be challenged by what the scriptures lift up for us, and to experience some growth in our journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's begin here. Martin Thalen tells a story about right after he graduated from seminary. And he was to be ordained in a tradition, a Christian tradition, that is significantly more conservative, both theologically and socially, than the United Methodist Church. And he felt honored when a ministerial group, about 100 pastors, invited him to come and speak to them as a new pastor. And he did this, and he prayerfully worked on his presentation. And he did what proved to be a very painful thing, that he actually used something he learned in seminary to speak that day. He had just had a class about stewardship, but not financial stewardship, but rather about ecological stewardship. And so with his class notes on the podium and a Bible in his hand, he spoke what he thought was movingly about how God calls us to care about the environment. And midway through his speech, some people over here began to fidget. And then he noticed that some people back there were whispering to one another. And he noticed people over here just looked really unhappy. And when he finally finished, in silence, one of the people from over here came up to him and said, "Son, you've misunderstood the Bible. God does not care about saving trees. He only cares about saving souls." Martin goes on to say that stinging rebuke stayed with him for years. The rejection by one of the leading persons in his community of faith. And that, plus other things, eventually led him to leave that tradition and to find a home in the United Methodist tradition, where, as he said, because I firmly believe that God cares about saving souls and saving trees. And I sense that the United Methodist Church does too. Let me talk a little bit about what he was trying to say. The first thing I would want to suggest to you is that one of the things that we Methodists emphasize is that we are called to be holy. We are called to be holy. Sister Teresa at one time was approached by a newspaper writer who asked her the question, what does it feel like to be so holy? And I loved her answer. She looked at him and said, it feels normal. And then she told him, being holy is normal. Being anything else is abnormal. I think in one sentence she summed up what one part of the faith is, that we are called to be saved and set on a journey with Christ toward being more and more holy and healthy. You don't believe that or feel uncomfortable about it? Well, you sang about it just a few moments ago. Take time to be holy. Speak off with your Lord. Spend much time in silence with Jesus alone. Description building a personal relationship with Jesus and through Jesus with God. We believe in that. The thing that Thalen suggests with his phrase about trees is that there is a danger, though, with being holy. And that is that it sometimes turns inward on itself. And it becomes a narrow expression of the faith where you and Jesus seem to be the only person in that world. I don't know whether any of you have ever read any of his books, but Will Campbell is now an older Southerner here in the United States. He's been a pastor, campus minister, and all around pain in the neck to people in the South over the last 40 or 50 years as he led many efforts at civil rights and legal justice in the South. He's also a pastor, and he tells a story about being in the Second World War, and he was stationed on one of the islands in the South Pacific, and he was a medical corpsman, and he and his partner were taking care of people who were injured in battle, but one night when they were working, a young boy from native to the island was brought to the hospital. He was badly beaten and bruised, and despite the care that they could give him, he died. And they discovered that his injuries had come from a beating he took from the French planter that employed him as a houseboy. And they learned that the boy had been beaten this badly because he'd dropped and broken an ashtray. Well, after they'd done everything they could and they had sent his body back to his family, the doctor turned to the two of them and said, "It's just a damn shame that he lost his life over a broken ashtray." And the doctor left. And his partner invited him to go to the chapel and pray with him. And he said it was a moment that changed his life. He said they knelt at the altar, and the other corpsman began to pray. And what he prayed for the entire time was for God to forgive the surgeon for swearing. And never once prayed for the child and the family and in their grief, nor prayed for the injustice that that planter had inflicted on that child and that family. Will Campbell says that that experience led him to reconsider how his faith would be lived out. And he wrote that he said, "I came to the conclusion that God cares about the environment, race relations, peacemaking, health care, immigration, a just court system, fair wages, prisons, and hunger and violence, just as much as God cares for the salvation of my soul." We are called to be holy, but we are also called to be practitioners of a full gospel faith. We're called not only to follow in the footsteps of Jesus as he taught his disciples. That great but confusing story about it's easier for a camel to crawl through the eye of a needle. If you'll remember, the eye of the needle was a gate in Jerusalem, which was low so that soldiers couldn't ride their horses through it. So it was difficult, not impossible, but difficult for a camel to crawl. It had to get down on its knees and crawl through, than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Rich meaning a person who is focused on living their lives for themselves. We are called to be holy, but we are also called to a holy practice of our lives. Following Amos, let justice roll, righteousness like an everlasting stream. We are called to live a balanced Christian life that has both a personal contact with God and a public contact with the issues of the day. What matters most, I believe, for our Christian faith is for us to make every effort to care about the same things that Jesus and God care about. We are called to live a balanced life where we draw closer to God through worship and study and small groups and accountability groups and whatever else it is that we do here on this campus for ourselves. But we are also called then to take that relationship for other people. There's a story about a minister who was driving down a country road, and he passed one of those churches that maybe many of us have in our minds as the ideal church. It's the white clappered church with a steeple in the front, and it just reminds us of childhood and other places. I know it does for me. But he said he drove by, and he said there was a sign outside the church that was almost bigger than the church itself. And it proudly proclaimed, "We are a full gospel church." Maybe you've seen some churches like that too. And he says, as I drove past it, I thought, that's what I want my church to be. A full gospel church. Maybe not the way those people meant it, but I want us to be a full gospel church. Alive in growing towards being holy people, and alive growing to be servants of Christ in the world. That's why, on that side, that's why we're going to take a second offering this morning. You saw the envelope in your bulletin. It's Peace with Justice Sunday in the United Methodist Church. Please be generous. It's why on Tuesday night we're going to be hosting dinner with the Muslim community here in the Santa Clara Valley. I hope that if you haven't signed up, you'll go and sign up and plan on being here for that special event. It's why we do all of those service projects, and it's why we're going to do more in the days ahead. For we are called to be a full gospel church, living a balanced life of being fed by the Spirit and then feeding others in response. I believe in that God cares about your and my personal salvation. And I also believe that God cares about us saving trees and building the kingdom of God. May we respond to God's call to be full gospel people and a full gospel church. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day when we're kicking off our fall activities. Help us to keep focused on being full gospel people and a full gospel church, proclaiming Jesus Christ and also building the kingdom of God, helping to build the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.